Hello, everybody. Cheers. Welcome to Trades Lady Happy Hour. I appreciate everybody's understanding about last week. Just needed to take the week off. but I'm glad to be back. I'm glad to be hanging out with all of you guys. And I'm really excited about today's guest, Megan, aka Bullet 1516, I think, will be joining us shortly. She's a pretty incredible woman. She does a ton of stuff. She's both a mechanic and a body and paint lady. She also does some race car driving, motocross, I believe. Autocross, I mean, not, but my, you know what I'm trying to say. Autocross. She'll tell you more about it, but I'm really excited to have her join. I've met her a couple of times, and of course, been following her on Instagram for some time. She does a lot to really promote women in the trades, so I'm sure we're gonna have a ton to talk about. I see that she just joined the room, so I'm gonna see if I can add her in. Let's see. Megan, hopefully. And we'll be chatting in just a few moments. Hello.
Hi, Bogey.
How are you?
I'm really good. How are you?
I am fantastic. I'm going to try to adjust this so the camera's not cutting off the top of my head. There we go. So how have you been?
I'm doing really good. Yeah.
Good. I'm glad. Let's do a quick nutshell introduction of who you are to these fine folks, and then we'll dig into some more of your story, okay?
Okay. My name is Megan, and I am from Vancouver, BC, Canada. I've lived here all my life, and I'm an extreme automotive enthusiast. automotive enthusiast. I'm a Red Seal certified automotive refinisher. I'm a third year automotive service technician apprentice, and I enjoy anything that has wheels on it that I can drive.
I love it. Perfect. So how did this extreme automotive enthusiasm get started?
I always have a really difficult time answering this question because I'm asked it frequently and I've never found the right answer. I think I've just been like this since day one. Ever since I was like a really small little girl, I remember my dad watching drag racing on TV, and I can like in my head, I can still see those top fuel cars going down the track and then the parachutes deploy. That's kind of when it started. And then when I would see New Edge Mustangs in traffic, I would point to them and I would tell my mom and dad, I want the car with the pony on it all the time.
Cute. How old were you?
And then I was about, can you guys hear me?
Yeah, you're freezing up a little bit, but
yeah,
I think we'll be okay. You're back now.
Is that better?
I think so. I think so. You're okay right now. Let's hope it stays that way.
Okay. So when I was about 10 or 11 years old, my dad, he bought a brand new Mustang, which was new in 2004. And ever since that, it was just, I've just been this way since day one. I just always loved cars. I thought it was just the single greatest thing out there. And I loved the speed. I loved the looks. I loved how like a paint job could just like color just tied everything together. So it's kind of one of those things. I think it was just born to be.
I love that. And that actually like helps answer a little bit the question, but I'm going to ask it anyway, in case there's more to the story. You know, you're doing mechanical stuff now. You do a bunch of stuff in addition to doing body and paint, but
yep.
What was the draw initially to choose body and paint? Was there more to it than just that childhood, love the color, love the paint, love the look of cars? Was there more to that decision?
100%. So, I started my automotive career when I was only 17 years old, and I started out in the mechanical field. Oh. And it was not a kind industry to me, 100%. I will never sugarcoat that. So what I did is when I figured out this is not right for me, I took a break. I worked in cosmetics for a bit, and which was great. I loved that experience. I'm so happy I did that. And it taught me a lot about color. And I went to their training and their courses, and I learned about color theory. And it was kind of just by chance, I happened to be out at a bar with a girlfriend, and these two gentlemen started talking to me, and I guess maybe they worked for a body shop or something. And the guy said, "Well, if you can fix cars and you're good with color, why can't you paint them?" And I thought, "No, I am done with the automotive industry. I'm not
Interesting.
stepping back into that." And basically, 5 years later, I'm certified. I'm certified auto body painter, to make a long
So
story
what
short.
was that switch? Like, what was that switch where you're like, hell no, not getting back into it, to saying, yes, let's do this?
I thought, I don't want to work retail forever. And I just love cars too much to let this go, right? I thought maybe painting will be different. Maybe. And it definitely was different, that's for sure. It's actually, you know what? It's pretty cool because I think there's a lot of glory in it for sure, but it's things that are detail oriented, and I think that's where my skill set is. So I the second I picked up a sander and got to spray some primer, soon as I felt that come out of the gun, I thought, 100%, this is where I'm supposed to be. This is the job for me.
That's
And
fun.
after that, it kept doing this for me. I just love it.
That's awesome. You say that there's some glory in painting. What do you mean by that?
I think because I am not claiming to be a body person by any means. That's not my trade, but I do know a little bit of body. You don't get to see and complete the final look of the repair in the collision aspect. So when you're painting, that's the final,
Right.
and I really like that because it puts the pieces of the puzzle together in my mind.
That's awesome. That makes sense. Very cool. So, do you mind sharing your experience on the mechanical side in the beginning, what that was about and why that was so awful?
It's something actually I don't talk about a lot, because it was brutal.
If you're not comfortable, that's totally cool.
You know, this is 10 years ago when I started out, and I would say the mechanical aspect of the automotive industry, they're not ready for female technicians. And it was it's actually really hard to remember now because this was a while ago, but nobody would teach me, and that was very frustrating because I only know what I was taught in school, and I only have experience from working on my own vehicles, so I haven't solved every issue that there is. I see Faith commented here. I just adore her. I can't it's something that I can't quite put my finger on. And like employers, they didn't want to sign my apprenticeship papers. They didn't want to take me on. It was a lot of investment in hand tools. And you know, if I just had that one person to support me and change me, I'd probably be a different person. I probably would have been, you know, could have been successful in that trade, but I guess ultimately maybe that wasn't my path, and I'm here regardless.
Yeah.
And I'm super happy and thankful that I found painting.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think I am grateful that you found that. However, it's always a sad thing to hear how you wound up finding your way to that because of a negative experience. And
Yes.
it's interesting hearing you say that the mechanic side isn't ready. I see shops that are great. And I see there are tons of folks in the industry who are super supportive, and yet I agree with you that there's a lack of support for all technicians, I feel like,
I
from the
agree with
mechanical
that.
side, male, female. Like, we're so horrible to new technicians, because you said right on the money, right? Like,
yeah,
you don't know everything. You know what you learned in school. How are you supposed to learn if people don't teach you? But we don't do that in the automotive industry.
It's like, what? You don't know everything? Oh, too bad. No,
right.
You pack up your tools. Out you go.
It's like, right.
Well, I only know how to fix things from what broke on my own vehicle, right? So,
right.
You know, it's still going down the road. It hasn't completely quit on me yet. So, I don't understand where that mentality comes from. So, like, recently I had the opportunity to work with another female, and I got to train her a little bit.
Nice.
And that was never my attitude, to be like, why can't you do this job? Right. Because, that's the wrong mindset. This is 2021, right? And, you know, you got to make sure that the people around you are safe. They're working safely. We're working with tools that can kill us. So, you know, knowing what I know now, looking back on my experience in mechanical, I was a 17-year-old girl. I mean, how could you possibly expect them to anyone in my position to,
right, male or female, 17,
exactly, any young person, like, how are they going to know how to manage their time or how to make these repairs, how to use equipment safely? If they, you know, that was one of my very first jobs in my working career. So when I look back on that, yeah, it's super, super difficult to digest still.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. I think there's a lot that's kind of broken in the automotive industry on all sides. You know, somebody just commented that flat rate piecemeal work is something,
yeah,
that kind of makes that worse, right? Because there's this mindset of, if I teach you, then you're going to take work from me.
Yeah.
And so there's this territorialness that kind of happens. And yeah, it totally depends on what shop you're at and the people who you're around. But I like to think, you know, you talk about teaching this other woman and working with her, you know, maybe this is just finding the silver lining. I had a horrible first mentor, you know, the person who was supposed to be mentoring me when I,
right,
first got into the industry.
Yeah.
And as awful as he was, there's a part of me that thanks him, because it is because of that awful experience that I know how I want to treat other people when they're learning, right?
Exactly.
Yes, absolutely. Jason Meyer is saying successful shops have plenty to go around as far as work goes. And, you know, he's absolutely right. And I think that's one of the things that we need to be teaching young folks, male and female, coming into the industry, is like,
100%.
A good shop is going to take care of you. A good shop, there's going to be opportunity. It's the not so good shops where the challenges are. Were you at a dealership or an independent shop?
I've worked for a handful of dealerships, actually. And I'm really glad that I made the switch to the collision industry, because I honestly like the structure of it. Like, I always know what's expected, what I'm doing. And I really like that. I didn't find that the mechanical side of the industry had that same structure. I'm super happy that just by chance I ended up in collision.
I don't think it was chance at all.
No, I don't think so either.
I think your path was paved.
Yeah.
Structured in what way is the, and I don't know, I'll be perfectly honest, I was always on the mechanical side. I've,
right,
learned body, I've learned paint recently, really, very recently. So in the auto body paint and refinish side, is it still a piecemeal flat rate kind of situation?
Definitely, where I am in Vancouver. So in the province of British Columbia, we have government insurance. So everybody's insured through ICBC. And most shops are flat rate. I think some are moving to salary, but for the majority, if you're a licensed technician, you work flat rate. And I enjoy that. And I just like having, I'm the type of person who definitely needs structure. So I like that, you know, the car comes in, it goes through the pre-wash, then it goes to the body man, and then it comes over to paint, and then it goes to detail. Like, I really like that I always know what I'm doing. The work is on the RO. I like that. I can dial in my day and figure out exactly what's expected and then just try and improve on that little bit by little bit. I really like the structure of Collision.
Interesting. Have you been at multiple Collision shops?
Yes.
Okay. And you find that the structure is similar across the board and that it's more welcoming overall across the board?
I would say, yeah, definitely. It's easier as a female to find a job in Collision than it was in the mechanical sector. And yeah, just everything's organized. You know, the parts are always on a rack. I don't know how to explain it very well. I guess because we have government insurance, so there's no separate insurance company. So everything's kind of set in stone, right? So this car comes in, they get this rack from the parts, and then that's there. So there's no guesswork. Like, hey, where's this part? There's just the way that ICBC wants the shops to set up. Like, it makes sense, right? I really like that structure.
So there's no equivalent to ICBC in Canada for the mechanical side? Or just it's different?
I don't know how many times you'd take your car to a shop for mechanical repair if you ran over something and wanted to make a claim to replace like a knuckle or something.
So this is for like insurance work.
Yes. Insurance. Yeah. And okay. Yeah. Collision insurance okay. work.
And
yeah.
Because of that, it creates the structure within the shop overall, yes. Even for yeah. customer pay stuff.
100%. Right.
Got it. Okay. I'm picking up what you're putting down now.
Yeah.
All right. That's interesting. And so how about the people? Like, okay, we got structure, right? Mm-hmm. What did you find the people within the Refinish side to be more willing to teach and more accepting of new as well as of female?
I want to say yes, but I definitely did encounter some of the same issues. So it's not 100%. I mean, I'm here now. I finished my apprenticeship. I'm a journeyman technician now. Thank you. But it was very difficult. Like very, very difficult. It almost was like there's no end in sight. So yes, flat rate. It does take away kind of people wanting to teach you. But sometimes people don't want to teach you because they think that you're going to end up better than them or something. So maybe there's, yeah. you know, sometimes people can get insecure about that kind of stuff. But yeah. I guess ultimately it was a little bit better. I don't know if I have a better answer than that.
No, that's okay. I mean, I think everybody's experiences are interesting and valuable to help us kind of understand what's out there and what's going on. I think I'm hearing more and more positive stories overall. I still hear a lot of really negative challenge stories, mm-hmm. But I am hearing more positive stories, which is encouraging. But as you said, like, it's not 100%. We're not there yet. We haven't, right? There's still a lot of work to do. And I think there's a lot of variables, you know.
It's like I say, I'm only one person. So right. I can do all the advocating that I want. I can show the world through my Instagram or whatever, you know, talking to yourself that, hey, yes, I can do the job, but I'm only one person and there's only so much that I can actually do. Like, I can't go in the, like, bang down the door of some CEO and say, start hiring more girls. And that's it. I don't have the power to do that.
But I mean, isn't that kind of cool? Like this whole Instagram thing and social media world, like, as much as I have mixed feelings about it, like, that you and I are connected, right? That yeah. all of these women are connected. You're right. Like, no one of us can make massive industry-wide change alone.
Exactly.
But all of us together, when we work together, we can. And that, I think that's what's really exciting. And you said it exactly, like just being visible, just being present is huge.
I think people are always very surprised what I do for work, you know, just like meeting people. And I say, no, I'm an auto body technician. And I think also maybe there's that stereotype too. Like, I'm a very feminine girl. I worked in cosmetics. I'm very petite. I'm only 5'4".
I'm only 5'2". Not small people.
So I'm a very small girl. I'm very small structure. So I've had to get creative with ways to make repairs and whatnot. You know, I have a like 2-foot-long breaker bar and whatnot.
But, tools, man, they make all the difference.
Exactly, right? Work smarter, not harder. Keep it simple. But I think that's always the thing that strikes people is I'm a very feminine girl doing this kind of work. And I guess maybe there's some stereotypes out there, and I really don't care for that kind of stuff. So anyone who knows me knows that I do my own thing, and I'm Megan. I go for it.
Right. No, I love it. I love your attitude. And I remember speaking with you once many years ago at this point, and I think you were at a place in your career where you were feeling very disheartened.
Yes.
About things. And it's been so awesome to watch you come back and take it fiercely and say, yes, like I'm doing this and I don't care what anybody else says or thinks or feels. And that's awesome to see. What do you attribute that newfound confidence, that newfound, like, F this is about me making myself happy and doing what I love, and all the rest of you can take your opinions and go elsewhere with them.
So, I mean, I, as much as I want to say I've been like that since day one, you could ask my mom or dad. I've always been a little headstrong, maybe sometimes a little stubborn, but 100%, like, my mentality comes from martial arts. So,
interesting.
I'm like very into martial arts as much as I am cars. So I practice Brazilian jiu-jitsu and Muay Thai kickboxing.
Nice.
And that's actually been a recent thing in my life. I've only been doing that the last 4 years or so.
Interesting.
And it's taught me not to panic in life. It's taught me not to panic, it's really taught me like discipline and self-respect, and that like nobody has power over you. And if the situation ever comes, yeah, I'm ready for it. I don't fear anything.
I love that. And I'm so glad that you brought that up. I mean, so much of the time there is a mindset piece, right? And mm-hmm. how we walk into a situation affects how we see a situation.
100%.
That's really very cool. I'm glad to hear that.
Thank you.
That's awesome. So what's happening now in your world? I know, say as much as you're comfortable with,
sure.
But what's going on in the work life world for you?
So because COVID really killed the collision industry here, I was working in the industrial sector, spraying industrial equipment.
Oh, wow.
And I did a lot of crazy, crazy jobs there, like spraying excavator parts. And that's not an easy feat.
I can't imagine. That's massive stuff too. Like,
it is big equipment. So yeah, I had to learn how to move all that equipment in order to spray it. It was interesting. And now I'm going back to the collision industry because things have picked up, and I'm super excited to be back again on my home turf.
Yeah, absolutely. And, I can understand that.
Spraying cars again. I also work part-time in a little restoration shop that kind of does like concourse restorations, and I'm super happy to help out there. Because that's a whole different aspect, as you know.
Yeah.
It's not like collision work. Nothing can be done in a day. It's been a total new adventure for me to learn that aspect of the industry as well. So I'm super grateful for that.
How cool is that, though, for you to have this experience now in so many different areas, from auto repair mechanical shops to heavy duty equipment to cars to restoration, collision, like all of that. That's how cool.
I just, like, I don't have a small mindset. I really do believe that the sky's the limit. And, you know, sometimes we can get in our own heads and you go, no, I don't know if I can do this or not. And then I think, why can't I? No, I'm going to do this for sure. So I just, like, I don't believe there's anything that I can't do. I truly don't.
I love that. That's phenomenal. Do you ever have moments, and this is real talk time, right? You know, I think those of us who are, like, optimistic and positive and want to see the best in things, do you have moments where you question that or where you don't feel that strength?
Yeah, all the time, you know, especially if a job goes sideways on me. I mean, every painter is watching this right now knows exactly what I mean. You do the same thing every single time. You wipe the car down, you know, mix up your base, whatever it is. And you get in the booth and you spray something and then a fish eyes on you or something like that. And then it kind of snowballs from there. So in those moments, it's like, you know, maybe I'm really not cut out for this. And it's hard to come back from that. And I think because painting is like, it's something that's so intimate and you're creating something, you're trying to create that OEM finish. So it's a repair that's unlike any other that I'm familiar with. And if you start making mistakes and you start getting inside your head about that, thinking, I can't do this, I'm not cut out for this, you only start believing it. So if you get a string of mistakes, you have to have the humility to know, okay, it's time to get the rep in, right? Want to make sure what I'm doing is correct and I haven't picked up or formed a bad habit. So kind of knowing yourself, knowing where those limits are, it's just like driving on the track, right? If you start making the same error in the same place, you know, maybe you're fatigued and maybe it's time to go cool down, let the car cool off or whatever, and then, you know, eat something and then get back out there, right? No, seriously, that's when you know. That's
when you know, right? 100%. Yes, that's such a valid thing. And I thank you for answering the next question that I had, which is like, how do you get yourself out of that mindset? And it is, God, like, how many times for the mechanics who are watching, and you know this too, Megan, you work on this side, like, how often do you not, you can't find the problem, you're beating your head against the wall, you can't find it, and then you just walk away. Or somebody else walks up and they're like, what about that thing right there, right in front of you? And you're like, I couldn't even see it because I was doing this, right?
Yeah.
And you just need to walk away.
Yeah, so you kind of get inside your
reset.
Head. Yeah, it's super important to know it, to kind of know your limits and also, have the humility to ask for help, because I haven't seen everything in the industry. I only know this much, right? You know? Sometimes you get a problem, you get a really bad color match. Oh no, this is your third redo. You know, call the rep in. They're there to support you. So don't think that you know everything. It's okay to ask for help.
I feel like you just hit on an interesting point though, right? Like the beginning of this, we were talking about how sometimes the industry and I shouldn't say the industry as a whole, some folks in the industry don't want to answer your questions. Mm-hmm. And yet we're teaching new techs, don't let your ego get in the way, have humility, ask for help when you need it. And so there's this challenge there, right? Because say you have the humility to ask the questions, mm-hmm. and you don't get that support.
Right? I've been there, done that too. So I saved my textbook from when I took my level one apprenticeship, and you'd be surprised how much I refer to that, because even if I'm fixing my own cars, sometimes it's just got, you know, the flow of the diagnostic charts, and I go, okay, yeah, that makes better sense, you know, let's tackle it that way. So you know, I always say you'd be surprised how much I refer to just my textbook instead of like deep diving into forums online, whatever it may be. So it definitely, like, going back to the source is job number one, I guess.
Yeah. So if nobody will help you, I think this is great advice for folks who are maybe just getting into this, is if you're in a situation where asking for help isn't getting you answers or isn't getting you support, like, there are other resources, even if it's outside of your shop. Like, and to your point, like, reach out to the rep. If there's nobody in the shop who's going to be supportive and help you, there are other resources, whether it's a rep, whether it's books, whether it's online even, like, there are other places to go. And just because people aren't being supportive of answering your questions, don't give up on asking them.
Exactly. And sometimes, like, you know, sometimes you just, you gotta get to the bottom of it, right? In my 4 short years in Collision, I've seen things rapidly change. When I first started, that's when, like, the 3-stage reds were coming out. And now that's commonplace. Every second car going down the road has that color. So, you know, if your supplier isn't giving you that training and education, you need to start asking why, because you need to know how to fix that, you know. It's like nothing's solid black or solid white anymore. Everything's some really complicated color, and you have to have the right tools for the job. You have to have the knowledge. So if you're not getting support, you know, start asking those questions. Why? Where's my rep? What else can I do? Is there online learning about this? Where can I find this information?
So I know on the mechanical side, and I don't know from Canada, I'll admit to being relatively naive about the Canadian system, but in the US, dealerships will send their technicians to ongoing training as things change.
Yeah.
Independent shops sometimes do, sometimes don't. Are there, aside from your reps coming in and doing demos and talking to you one-on-one, are there classes that you can go to as technology is changing? And do shops send their technicians and their painters out for those courses?
Yes. I've been sent for trainings through Axel Noble. I think some of the local colleges, and sorry, I should say educational institutions, I think, you know, they'll offer courses for, you know, updating or continuing education. I'm not sure if I'm the best person to speak about that kind of stuff, but I do know there is resources out there. And I know a lot of paint companies, they offer training online, like they'll have their online campuses or whatever it may be. So, like, that's a great resource. And I don't know so much about, I'm kind of out of touch on the mechanical side because I haven't been involved with that industry for a while.
That's okay. I was curious specifically about the paint and body side of things. Do you have to seek out those programs and training opportunities on your own? Or do employers tend to encourage and support that?
If you have the right employer, they definitely should be doing that, right? Because the last thing they want is an issue. So they, employers should understand that the more education that their and technicians have, the smoother things will run. I mean, no one wants a redo. Redos are costly. You're going to have to paint 6 other cars to make up for that one redo. So why not eliminate that issue? You know, if the tech's gone for a day because of this course, so be it. I was extremely thankful to have a job where I sprayed Axel Noble products, because they invest a lot into training and educational courses, and I just loved it. It was, you know, it was great. I already love what I do for work, but to go and kind of dive into that and learn the stats, learn the data, I just soaked that right up. I just love stuff like that.
You know, I think we hear a lot about mechanical technology changing rapidly and technicians having to keep up with that. And we hear about it on the body side too, you know, from steel to aluminum, there's different ways that things are being built and all of that kind of change that people are needing to deal with. It almost feels to me like there's this misconception that painters don't necessarily have that struggle, and yet I think there is, correct me if I'm wrong, there's a ton of technology changes in paint and how to paint.
Yeah, 100%. Like I said, in my 4 short years in Collision, things have changed so rapidly. And I think, I mean, I can't say for sure, but I think it's only gonna keep going. I mean, complicated colors are becoming way more commonplace, and materials are changing. We're, you know, gone are the days where you could use, you know, one spray gun, right? So like it's just, painting's just like any other technical job, right? You have to have the right tool for the job. And like, I'm a big advocate for, you know, education, safety, whatever it may be in the industry.
I love it. So let's dive into a little bit more of like what you're doing recently. I know you and I have tried to connect and I'm awful and haven't been very available to you, and I apologize.
It's okay.
But you've been making some waves and doing some serious work to promote the trades and move the needle a little bit. Will you tell everybody a little bit about what you've been doing there?
Yeah. So upon completion of my Red Seal, I actually had the opportunity to be a guest speaker at an apprenticeship board meeting in my province. And that was not the easiest thing that I've ever had to do. I had about a week to prepare what I was going to say. And that was super difficult to talk about my experience, because like I said, I don't sugarcoat things. So I try to take the negative and include positives, because, well, there was both. And I'm just kind of telling in a diplomatic manner what happened to me, where I am now, and that it really had nothing to do with gender. I was, you know, I'm a Red Seal now, but I've been painting at the same level for 2 years, right? And of course, every day I try to make myself a little bit better, a little more efficient, learn something new, you know, all those things. I'm always on that self-improvement journey. But as far as actually being capable to do the job, I've been capable right off the bat. And I think that, I don't know, I think that maybe that was intimidating to some people. And I wanted that opportunity to speak at that meeting because of the people involved are CEOs, educators. They're people that are directly in control of the industry, and they needed to hear that firsthand from a technician. And I'm a dual trade tech, so I have some pretty well-rounded experience.
Yeah, you do.
Bogey says I do. So sometimes I think I don't know anything, but that's besides the point.
I think we all feel that way sometimes. I think that's normal.
My favorite saying now is I hate cars, but that's besides the point.
Sometimes. I think sometimes we feel that too.
So I think a lot of people there were, I had to, like, there was 30 people that I was speaking to.
Was that your first time public speaking?
It was over Zoom meeting, so I guess it wasn't that bad, but
it still is. I totally get it though.
They needed to hear that. They needed to hear my story and see me. And I've been invited back again to speak to them again at the end of August. So hopefully that pans out. I don't know. Sometimes things happen, but I've been invited back after telling my story. So I guess that's a really, really good thing.
It absolutely is. And congratulations on that and on your courage to do that and to put yourself out there to do that. I think that's how we create the change, right? I think it's so important for people to hear the stories, and that's such a big reason why I do these happy hours, right? Because it's one thing to just talk about it. It's one thing to wish for change, right? But the awareness, the stories, absolutely.
100%. Like I said, I'm an advocate, but what does that mean? What am I actually actively doing to change the situation? Because Like, what happened to me in my lifetime, no other girl can go through that. Not as long as I'm around. 100%. Like, that is my mission.
Cheers to you on that. I feel like that's what drives me every day, right? Like, mm-hmm. And that's where, again, that, like, that negative experience has a positive outcome because it's given me, and clearly you as well, that commitment to, I don't want anybody else to deal with what I dealt with. And obviously mm-hmm. some people will, but if we can make, if we can move the needle just a little bit in what mm-hmm. that experience is like for those that come after us, then that's huge, right?
Mm-hmm.
So many things. I want to dive down these rabbit holes with you, but I also want to cover everything that you've got going on. You recently did some stuff with Ford Canada.
Oh, yeah.
Tell me about that. How did that come to happen?
I completely forgot about that.
How you forget about that?
Forgot about that.
We're honored by a major manufacturer.
I don't know how I didn't include this in my introduction. So yeah, I said I'm an extreme automotive enthusiast, but I own both a 2001 Mustang Edition Bullet, and I have a 2017 Fiesta ST Edition. I'm a big Ford fan, and I like those cars because they were in my budget and I could go fast with them and they're easy to fix. So I liked that additionally. Yeah. So, on Instagram, like I mostly do, I sent Ford Canada a picture of me spraying my car, and they actually messaged me back and said, "Hey, would you be able to work with us?" And then a couple photos, turned into, hey, let's do a video for social media.
Oh, how amazing.
With this. And it took a little while, and it was everybody, I'm reading the comments right now, and they're saying, yes, Bullet, she loves green. Yes, I love every I love everything green. I love everything Steve McQueen, and I love everything Mustang. yeah, I'm definitely a Bullet head. But it took a couple months to make the video come to light, and there was lots of hours of audio recording, lots of photos submitted, and they made that little video, and I think it was just to highlight women in automotive. So I'm not just a technician. I'm an avid motorsports enthusiast. So by all means, I'm not a professional race car driver. I want to make that very clear. I am an amateur at best. I just do it to improve my own skills and to enjoy my vehicles because I love them. They're so enjoyable to drive. And that's why I like them. And I was super, again, super grateful that Ford Canada wanted to work with me.
That's amazing.
On that. And
how cool is that? Like, I just want to take a moment and appreciate that. Like, so you didn't approach them. They saw your posts.
Yeah,
somehow.
No, I sent them a photo of my Mustang when
out.
It was painted. Yeah.
Okay. Which is awesome. Like, good for you for doing that. And it's so encouraging. You know, we sometimes harp on the negative, and we talk about the challenges and the hard stuff within this industry, but how cool is it that so many major manufacturers are starting to proactively do stuff to
yes.
promote and highlight women in the trades? Like, that's huge.
It is.
That's huge.
I sometimes, like I said, I forget it really is that big of a deal. So in the video, if you guys want to check it out, it's at Ford Canada, and you'll probably have to scroll for a little while now. I said in the video, I didn't know anyone like me growing up. And that's really hard because, you know, with social media and everything nowadays, like, you could just show your kids this little video. Look what this girl's doing. But it wasn't really on TV much. Like, unfortunately, the late Jesse Combs was the only girl on TV then.
For a long time.
Right?
Yeah.
So there wasn't, no one I knew was me. No one had cars. No, like, no girl had cars. No girl went racing. And when I was really young, so let's say, like, before the age of 13, 14, I needed to see that. I needed me 100%.
Right.
And I didn't have that. And then the older I got, oh, it's a boy sport. Oh, this, oh, that. It's, it was is just super important that I included that in the video, that there was no one like me growing up. Yes. And I'm sure that there was, but there
right
was,
you just
like,
didn't see it.
I didn't have that family member, or I didn't have that like my mom and dad, they didn't have that friend or whatever it may be. So yeah. Like I say to everyone, even if you don't like me, maybe I'm too much for some people, that's okay. Show your daughter that video, because she might need that. You might not need that, but she might, because I did. I was that girl. It's super hard not to get emotional about it, because yeah. I think of how empty I still feel from childhood by seeing that female role model.
Totally. And I think it's hard sometimes to explain that. Safae just made that comment too. It's hard to explain that to people. Like the importance and the reason for these happy hours is exactly that, right? It is, you know, for people to be able to see it, because I was the same as you. I didn't know anybody else like me. I thought I was a weirdo. I thought I was like this outcast. And I knew there were other people, like intellectually, I knew there were other people out there like me.
Yeah.
Pre-social media, I'd never heard of them. I'd never seen them. And it's a weird thing to try to explain why that matters. But seeing somebody who looks like you
100%
makes a difference.
100%. So I know you always say, she can see it, she can be it. And I went, oh, I love that slogan. That's 100%, you know, the idea that I'm going for here. And I really hope Ford Canada captured me well. I don't know, because I'm looking at it from my point of view. I'm like, oh, I don't like that photo of me that they used, or I was going really slow down the track then. You know, I didn't learn much that day, right?
So, no, it was it was wonderful. And I'm so stoked that you did it. I'm so stoked that it's out there. And I love that Ford pursued that. Like, that's, it's so huge. And I think that's the encouraging thing, you know, for those that have seen on my social media recently, actually on my shop, Girl Gang Garage, like, we just announced a partnership with Volvo.
That's right.
Been doing stuff with Ford, and for everybody who's watching, I'm going to be doing a live stream tomorrow to talk about that a little bit. So come back tomorrow. But you know, Volvo, Ford, Mercedes-Benz has been doing a bunch of stuff promoting women in automotive. Like, there's more and more of this happening, and that's so exciting to me. Like, this is how it changes.
Yeah, I really like. I think that they captured that. Like, I'm the average girl. Right. And I'm the average girl, and I'm driving their cars. Right. So
you're not average. You're spectacular.
But, like, I own those cars, right. Those cars were in my budget, and look what I was able to do with them. Right. Like, I drove my Mustang up Pikes Peak in Colorado. I drove it there. I drove it up to the top of Pikes Peak. I drove it down. And then I raced it the next day, and then I drove home to Vancouver, Canada.
I love it. I love it.
So, you know, yeah, it's this year it's a 20-year-old vehicle, and I still have this huge soft spot for it, because it never really let me down. And again, like, that was a great, like, a most excellent engineered car that was in my price range. So, of course, yeah, I love the latest and greatest, and I'd love a 2019 Bullet, but it's not my
Ford, are you listening?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, hint, shit, that's my driveway. But the fact that I can do all that with a 20-year-old car, and you know, and it's so comfortable to drive, it's like, you know, that's a huge test to the engineering that went into that car 20 years ago.
And to the woman who's been maintaining it.
that's the key.
Absolutely. And I, you know, you say, you described yourself as an average girl, and I you know, to a degree, like, I agree. Like, you know, I say to people all the time, like, I'm just an average girl. Like, I'm just, I'm a normal person, just like everybody else, you know, but I want you to look through some of these comments, because you have a ton of support out there, and so many folks who are saying how awesome you are, aside from your obsession with green. Okay, I'm obsessed with purple.
I made
so
the color
totally
green cool.
I get it. But you have a ton of support out there, and people who really believe in you and know that you are not just average. They know that you are spectacular. And yes, I will also say to everybody out there, like, even if you feel average, being spectacular is a choice, and one that you've made every day to keep pursuing. So what do you feel is the message when you were speaking to that group, and when you go speak with them again, like, what do you see as the fix? And not just for women in the industry, although that's a big piece of it, but for the industry kind of as a whole to grow and to bring in new talent and to be more welcoming. Like, how do we fix this?
I recently got asked that in an interview for like an automotive magazine. And I, you know what? I really don't know the answer to that. In fact, it was really hard for me to think of one. I think education, that's going to be number one, because I know my education coming into both mechanical and into auto body was very poor. And shops are still kind of behind the times as well, right? So I think education, first and foremost, is number one. So whether that's the educational institutions, they need to invest more time with the hands-on skills and not just theory, because that's what you're doing. This is a physical job. You have to actually be able to do that task. So I think that's going to be a huge aspect of it, knowing how to work on modern cars as well. Again, I can't speak too much to the mechanical sector anymore, but I just from working on my Fiesta, I know, I don't know what's going on here anymore. So
yeah, it changes fast. Yeah.
So there's obviously a lot of more computerized components and whatnot, so I could, you know, myself, I could use a huge refresher just to be able to fix my own car. So education, that needs a bump up immediately across all levels. And then I think maybe getting employers and like and big companies, so whether it's like collision repair chains, vehicle repair chains, dealerships, whatever it may be, to have their management participate in a program such as Be More Than a Bystander. Mm. And maybe that will help to provide a more inclusive work environment. But again, that kind of ties into what I just said. That's education. They have to know and understand that this is a problem, because sometimes it's not things that employers think about until there's an issue.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you feel like, gosh, we're running out of time already. Dang it. I have so many questions because I'm loving this conversation. I think you have a really interesting perspective, having touched so many different areas of the industry. Mm-hmm. Do you feel, and obviously you can only speak from your own experience in Canada, but do you feel like having that formalized apprenticeship program and training program that Canada does, like, I feel like I've romanticized it a little bit maybe in hearing your experience struggling still in mechanical despite that.
Yeah.
Do you feel like it helps?
Actually, I don't know if it helps, and it varies province to province as well. So in my province, it's brutal. The employer can dictate whether or not they're going to sign your apprenticeship papers and so you can collect your hours, right? Like, nobody should have that power over your career. And that's a point that I'm very adamant about. I mean, they should have like a passport style where you can log your hours and then, they can sign off or like just like provide their signature or something. I think within our government organization here, they need a position where they go in to check on minorities in the apprenticeship system. Because if somebody had come and checked on me when I was still working as a mechanic and said, what's going on? What's your experience like? What can I do to help you? Maybe I'd still be a technician. You know, maybe I would have been a qualified technician a long time ago. I guess I can only say that, but definitely like there was no support. There was no avenue. There was I said in the meeting there was truly no support for me, truly. And especially 10 years ago, this is like social media was around then, but not what it is today, right? So there wasn't even like, I couldn't even reach out to you if I was like, hey, I'm having a bad time or whatever right. It was, right? So it was just like, oh, I guess I can't do this, right? No one will hire me. The industry training authority, they're no help. I mean, they only have their customer service number. So they definitely could use a representative to go out and check on people knowing that the industry is like this. Yeah. Right.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to throw you back to your own statement that you made earlier about not necessarily knowing the answer to the question of how things need to change. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a solid piece of wisdom and advice and ways that the industry can do better. And I think you're right. It's hard for those that are not a minority in the industry to know and understand how valuable something like that would be mm-hmm. to have that support of knowing that there's a resource, a place to go if you are not in a great shop, and to not lose people, right? We're losing people from the industry.
This is a thing. And then when these companies, when they ask me what's wrong, you know, I'll tell them, like, I'm a Red Seal tech. I still can't get hired. I still cannot get hired, right? But all I hear is we need people.
Right.
It's like, okay.
Yes.
I have my own tools and I have top of the line everything. I bought and purchased my own fresh air hood so I can ensure my own safety in the industry yes. and no employer can dictate that towards me. I have training. I have education. Like, I have all these things, but I'm not hireable. So, and you know what? And I'm sure that's not just me. I'm sure somebody is probably watching this going, hey, that's my experience too.
No, right? There is. There's this disconnect. So because I hear from employers all day long saying, yeah. we need people, we need people. Exactly. And then I hear from women all day long saying, no one yeah. will hire me, no one will yeah. hire me.
It's true. So there is, like, again, there's no sugarcoating statement like this, right? Trades are sexist towards women. And
not all, you know, folks in the trades.
Not all.
But yes,
folks
I hear
in the trades,
you.
But
yeah.
generally speaking, so I've been trained with Axe & Noble coatings. That's a luxury car coating, right? So that has value. And like, employers, I could apply to 20 jobs and maybe one or two will call me back. And that's not even hire me. Just one or two might actually like respond. So.
And yet,
so
you
I
have a new job that you're starting.
Yes.
So, moral of the story for those who hear this is discouraging. Don't be discouraged.
Yeah.
Yes, there's challenges. However, if you stick to it and you keep banging on that door, mm-hmm. like, you will find the right place. Because the place that won't hire you, you don't want to work at it.
Anyway. That's definitely a very good point, right? Don't fight that. So. And like I said, I'm only one person. I can only do what I can do and demonstrate that, yeah, I'm more than qualified to be able to do this job. And then, I guess I just can advocate for other girls to come in and learn and do the same. But, like I said, I'm a very highly motivated person. So doing the bare minimum is not really in my nature.
I hadn't noticed that about you at all. so we've got 2 minutes left, which means we're probably going to go a few minutes over if that's okay with you.
Yeah, of course.
You know, I've heard you say that, that you've kind of always had this go-getter, hard-headed, confidence in yourself, which is wonderful and a beautiful thing. So maybe this isn't a question of what would you say to the younger you, although maybe it is. But but what do you say to the younger techs out there that are interested in this industry, who want to get involved, who are maybe feeling discouraged? You've managed to overcome that period of discouragement, mm-hmm. that period of feeling like you're coming against it. What are your words of advice to those folks out there who may be struggling with the same thing?
I think, if you made a roadblock, like, I moved laterally. I would just look for that one place that would hire me, right? And then I would just take every little bit. And that's actually, I think, like, some people might not like that. they might say, well, have you worked in so many places? Yeah, well, look at the pile of experience I have for such a short amount of time, right? And it's because, like, I just meet that roadblock. Somebody would stop teaching me, or the painter was teaching me left or something like that, right? So I moved laterally to whatever I could do, whatever it took to make money, whatever it took to make my car payment.
comes back to the car.
Yeah. I just did whatever it took. And I just told myself, like, any of the naysayers that I met along the way, yeah, well, they're not driving a bullet home. So
her lesson is perseverance and have a really cool car.
Yep. 100%, because that's what makes life so enjoyable.
I love it. And if you can't have a really nice car, then at least have the perseverance.
Absolutely. Yeah, 100%. You know, and I know we only got a little while left, but join martial arts. Like, if you're a girl in the industry, that might have some value to you. Trust me.
I think that's so important. There's life lessons in everything if you're willing to look for it. And I love that you found martial arts and that it's been so impactful for you. And yeah, there's life lessons everywhere.
There is, 100%.
Absolutely. Well, I'm so thrilled that you took some time out of your week to hang out with me for a little while and share your story with everybody. I'm excited for your next adventure. I'm excited to see what you continue to do with promoting women in the trades and trying to move that needle a little bit. And that, you know, I think everything that we can do, even if it's just a little bit, like we said earlier, if we're all trying to move that needle, then it will move, right? Mm-hmm. It's a collective action. So I applaud what you're doing. I applaud you. And I'm grateful for you being out there and spending some time with me.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And for everybody out there who's watching, go check out her page, give her some support. I'm going to recommend, Megan, that you repost that video so that it's right at the top of your feed so folks can check it out. Yeah. I think that would be really awesome so that people can see that. And so check her out. Show her some love. Make sure you come back next week for another Trades Lady Happy Hour. We're going to be meeting with another amazing lady. And tomorrow, tune in. Keep your eye out. I'm not sure exactly what time I'm going to be doing it because I'm in Florida right now, hence the drinking from a hotel wine glass. And lovely decor in the background. Stay tuned. I will be talking a little bit more about the Volvo build and what's going on. And Megan, we have to get you out to come and participate.
Yes,
and
when the borders open.
I know. Dang COVID.
And remember to wear your fresh air hood, everyone. I'm watching.
Yes, even on the airplane. No, I'm kidding. That would be weird. but I appreciate you all. Be good to yourselves. Be good to one another. Have a fantastic week. Megan, we'll talk to you soon. Have a great night.